We're going to be continuing today in our series through Matthew. So if you want to turn to Matthew 6, 25 through 35. And we're going to be dealing with the subject of worry. Some of you know that the last few days, Jan and I have been really just worried, focused on one thing, is trying to have everything together packed, ready. We have what's been in the bulletin communicating this week. We were going down. I'll be leaving tomorrow. Jan and the kids will be coming down later in the week, but our denominational meetings are in Tampa Bay, General Council, and we'll be there through this week, and then officially Saturday morning when we wake up, that starts the McCracken family vacation. But, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you get stressed out to prepare for the vacation. I don't know if I'm the only one, but, you know, it's like you get more done that week before you go to vacation than you do any other week, because it's you have all those lists, the list at home and the list at work and everything that you're trying to get done. And you just worry that it's very easy to fall into this worry of you're forgetting something. I mean, you know, vacation can bring with it a lot of worries, even though it's supposed to be a time to relax. I remember a few years ago when we started going to the beach each year. We had a place in Myrtle Beach that we've gone to often. I have to admit that as a kid I watched Jaws. So the thought of going too far out in the water at the beach brought a little bit of anxiety and worry to me. And until I finally learned a principle based on statistics, I just make sure that I'm with a lot of people. And so the odds are that it's not going to be good, not going to probably be bad for me if something happens. But I'm not sure how caring that approach is. But, you know, there are a lot of worries we can have. And I realize, you know, we can talk about vacation, we can talk, I mean, some of you are right now dealing with some worries and thinking, man, I really could use a week just to unplug because you're carrying stress and concern that is greater than you feel you can handle. And today's message is to be an encouragement to remind us of the confidence that we can have in God, to really put our trust in Him and to not be anxious, not to worry. But, you know, as I share that, I told Mike Showers this morning, asked if I had permission to share something and mention his name. My kids get a dollar, Mike, so you might get a dollar out of this. But, but you know, last year, you know that when we made the move, in addition to the anxiety of just the what's involved in the move, going from a church where I had been for 15 years to a new community, there were a lot of things weighing upon my heart because it wasn't just me, it's my family I'm moving. But one of the things that was the curveball that most of you know that were here walking this with me, we had a real curveball with our house. We thought the house was sold. We put an offer in a house up here. Everything seemed to be going smoothly. That fell through very unexpectedly about a year ago at this time. And, you know, I look back at that, and I realized the stress and the anxiety that I carried for a few months there was something, I mean, it was my number one prayer request. It was a thing I was just going to God again and again and asking. I know you were getting updates every week. And I remember talking to Mike, and I love this example because I think it's important that we understand how important Christian community is. Because God doesn't just speak through whoever is up here. God will often speak to the person you're sitting next to. God will use them to speak into your life. And Mike really spoke into my life last fall when he knew I was stressed. And I don't know if he hesitated in sharing this, or Mike, you usually don't hesitate, I don't think. But it was Mike just spoke a word to me that it was God. And he just said to me, he's like, you just got to trust God. Think about the opportunity this is to demonstrate to the congregation that you're trusting God. May not have been exactly those words, but that was the gist of what he shared to me. And God really moved in my own heart. And later that night, those words came back to me. And I realized, you know, it's one thing to take the need to prayer, but probably I'm not the only one that's guilty of taking something in prayer that you're concerned about and giving it to God and then walking away with it back on your shoulders because you haven't really let it go. And it's hard. When you're talking food, shelter, the basics, you can really be concerned about something of that level. But, you know, Jesus, when he speaks about worry, he gets to those two issues, food and shelter, the two of the most basic needs that every one of us has, of food and not shelter, but clothing. He gets food and clothing. He addresses that and tells us not to be anxious, not to worry. And so we're going to read the passage of Scripture. And I realize anytime you preach a passage of Scripture that people are familiar with, you know, the temptation is to try to be creative, try to do different things. But I really just want to focus on what the text says. It's a very simple message, and yet sometimes the simple message doesn't penetrate from our head to our hearts. And I just want to encourage you today, even before we read the scripture, I want you in your mind right now to name the one thing that is causing you the most worry and the most concern. You don't need to name it out loud, but I want you to put it in a word so that you know what it is, and that as we go to this scripture, that you're being specific and dealing with a specific worry or specific concern. Let's go ahead and read Matthew 6, verse 25 through 26. These are Jesus' words. Again, we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And actually, we're not going to get a lot into this, but the reality is we know that science tells us the exact opposite, that anxiety and stress can actually take years and have a negative effect in our physical health. So who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let us pray. Lord, these words are familiar, and yet so often we read them, and I think sometimes they just fall on our ears, and we don't allow them to penetrate our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that today, knowing that every one of us probably names something that is our number one area of concern or worry in this moment. And Lord, I just pray that in this moment that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would have a renewed confidence in you, to know that we can choose to trust you. We do not have to be consumed by worry or anxiety, but Lord, that we can choose to trust you even with those most important and basic needs in our life. Lord, just speak to us today through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm aware that being involved in your life, I sometimes know your stories and I know what you're going through. And I know some of you are carrying some very heavy stuff. And that's why I always think it's a good reminder. I've had people in the past say, you know, I felt like you were preaching right to me. Even if I'm aware, I try to give the word as it is and let it fall, let the Spirit direct where it lands. And yet, one of the reasons I like preaching in series is we preach what's next. And by preaching what's planned and what's next, we get through the word. And so today, I would say that if you feel like this is really hitting you, that's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit providing not just today and this weekend, but providing in orchestrating things about 2 months ago when we planned these weeks and the messages. But, you know, this message is amazing when you think about it. In the passage we just read, Jesus, just in case you were to miss it, he highlights a command three times. He doesn't just say, do not worry, or in some of your translations, I know the ESV is, do not be anxious. He doesn't just say it once, he says it three different times. So you think it might be important. If he's saying it once, he's saying it three times, he's trying to very clearly emphasize not just the command to do not worry, do not be anxious, but he's highlighting the importance of, and the opportunity that we have, like Mike's word to me, the opportunity that we have of not worrying, not being anxious, but putting our trust in God. You know, if you look at verse 25, you have the first command, first time it's presented. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, and about your body, what you will wear. Now, most of the time, those may not be things that we worry about, because we take food and we take clothing for granted. And yet, if you're in a part of the world where you're dealing with poverty and you don't have those things, they go very clearly to the top of the list of what's most important. You're not worried about side issues if you don't have food on the table for your family. You're not worried about those other issues if you don't have clothing for you and your family. Jesus is using as an example here very clearly two very critical needs, which really takes out any opportunity for us to say, but you don't know what I'm worrying about. You don't know what I'm carrying. If you don't have food, you don't have clothing, two basic needs. Most likely what you're worrying about is not at the same level. Jesus is trying to include all those things in what he's telling us. And he says the first time, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Down in verse 31, he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what we shall wear. He repeats that again. And then verse 34, in case you just missed it, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, this idea of not worrying or not being anxious, you know, when I hear that as a command, I'm probably not the only one there was a time in my life I'd hear that and say, well, how do you command someone not to worry? It's kind of like, I mean, if I took that approach, if someone came into my office for counseling and my only word to them as they pour out their heart about what's going on in their life and I say, well, just don't worry about it, it's not going to sit real well. Or that, or I just have very few appointments for counseling. But, you know, that idea of we're being commanded, we're being told to not worry. It's almost as if someone came to me and they were bleeding and I said, don't bleed. I mean, how do you get to an issue that deals such with a heart and emotion and something that just really can consume our whole self? Jesus is giving us a command, but then he gives, in all of his illustrations, he gives a very clear picture of really the only way we can do this. You can't make yourself not worry, but if you change what you believe in that moment and you really remind yourself of God's faithfulness and begin to look at what you're believing in that moment, what you believe is either going to lead you to a point of anxiety and doubt, or what you believe is going to lead you to a place of confidence and faith. And Jesus gives these examples. He gives the examples of the birds and how God cares for the birds, and then how the lilies of the field and how beautiful the field is, and how God has provided the covering, the clothing for the field. And says, look, how much more valuable are you? And that's where I want to get to. And we're going to look more at Jesus' illustrations here and really just very simply highlight a few truths that is at the heart of what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't just tell us, look, don't worry. He gives truth in responding to why we shouldn't worry. First thing that we see is how valuable we are. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Or are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus understood that each one of us, we were created in God's image. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You are his creation, and you're valuable. You're important to him. And Jesus is, not just giving the command, don't worry, but his first illustration is, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air, they don't have to worry. God has provided for them. And are you not much more valuable than they? God consistently throughout the scripture paints a picture of his creation as someone that he didn't just create us and then let us go. He loves us, he's concerned about us, and we are valuable to him. And when we make the choice to trust instead of the choice to worry, we're trusting that God really values us, that we're important to him, and that he is concerned about our life. Of course, the way he demonstrated that to the greatest level is in the fact that he gave his very own son. He chose to give his son so that we, who are so valuable to him, could be bought back and restored to relationship with God, our Creator. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to ask you a different question, deeper question. And I think this is really where Jesus is getting to here. Not what are you worried about, but in this issue of what you're worrying about, do you really believe that you're valuable to God? That he's concerned for you? That you're important to him? Jesus is emphasizing that point very clearly and saying, you're so much more valuable. If he cares for the birds, if he's cared for the field, won't he care for you? And that's the other point. Jesus is, in these same illustrations, is not just emphasizing that he values you, but he also is emphasizing that he will care for you, that he will care for those concerns and those needs. Look at verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, I think this is where we struggle, because often the idea in that moment of choosing to say, you know, I'm worried about this, I want God to show up and to care for this need, but that's where faith steps in, because we're looking for God to answer. And I look back at my health situation from June until November. That wasn't that long of a time. It felt like an eternity. And yet, in the market and in the area that we were selling the home, I can very clearly, looking back, see God's hand. His hand of provision is always easier to see looking back than it is in the moment. In the moment, though, you have to look at that, whatever it is that's in front of you and what you're facing, and remember what God has done in the past to remind you that you can have the confidence to have him care for you in that moment. Psalm 55:22, there are a lot of scriptures that highlight God's desire to care for us. Psalm 55:22 is probably one of the more well-known. It says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. In Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God wants us to bring our cares and our concerns to him. And in those moments where you're facing challenges that seem greater than the normal challenges that you're facing, and it's a little harder for you to trust instead of living in anxiety and worry, it's in that moment that you may not see in that moment how God is providing. But if we keep our hand out to God and trusting him, knowing that in his time he will meet that need, we can walk with confidence knowing that we're not abandoned. We're valuable. He cares for us. And while it may seem like darkness, he may be walking right alongside us and we may not know it. We have to remind ourselves of that truth and know that he is with us and he will not forsake us. He does care for us. And really, again, probably one of the most quoted verses in this whole section we're going to look at in the next passage. Look at Matthew 6:31-33. We need to understand not only that we are valuable to God, that he cares for us, he's concerned about the things that concern us, but we need to understand that it's not us, but it's God that makes the difference. It's not anything special about us, but it's God that makes the difference, that gives us that ability to trust, even when it doesn't make sense to those that are looking. Look at verse 31. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, there's a word here that's translated two different ways in this section. It's talking about the pagans, those outside of faith in Christ, and those that are outside of the faith community. Saying, you know, they're running after those things. They're seeking or pursuing, or their drive, their passion is to care for those needs, those basic needs of food and clothing, and they're running to try to care for all those things. And Jesus is basically saying, shouldn't there be a difference? Again, he says, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's the same word here. Instead of running after providing for all those needs and the concerns, we're being told to run after God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And that when we do those things, we have the promise that he's going to care for us. We have a promise that if we pursue Christ, if we seek after him, and our passion and our drive is to seek after God and his kingdom and his righteousness, we have the promise then of the second part of that verse. And all of these things, the food, the clothing, those other things we're worried about, all these things will be given to you as well. It's a promise. You know, I want to ask you, what in the issue of worry and anxiety, is there a difference between those of us in the church and out of the church? I will tell you, this is a concern. Because often when I talk to people today, they look at the news, and it's very easy to look at the news and think, Jesus is coming soon. Thank God. We know he's coming soon. And yet, sometimes when we talk about that, we carry such anxiety and stress with that, that we show not as much faith as we do worry and concern and anxiety. And you know, I think we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, do we really believe what we say that we believe? And what I want you to be very clear and understand, I'm not saying that you'll never deal with anxiety. I'm not saying that you'll never deal with worry. The question is, what do you do with it? Do you come to God and give those concerns to him and then trust him? Or do you hold on to that anxiety and that worry? I honestly believe that often in my interaction with people outside of the church compared to those inside of the church, I think we're a worrisome bunch. I'm not just saying you guys or in Alliance Church. I'm saying in the church, often I think we worry more and are more anxious than many people that are outside of the community of faith, and that's a problem. Jesus is using this as an illustration to make it very clear to say, you know, if we're in the faith community and we know that God, our Father, is caring for us, and that he holds our present, our past, our present, and future in his hands, we don't need to live with anxiety and worry. And yet, often within the church, we do. And I want to encourage you today, this statement of he makes the difference, that may not be the best way to word that. But remember what I said, the issue is not just to try harder not to worry. The question is, am I willing to change what I believe? So that instead of believing something that leads me to worry and more concern, that I can, even facing the anxiety, facing the challenge, I can have the confidence to believe and to trust God. In that moment, it's what we believe. Do you believe that you're valuable, that God values you, and that he's caring for you? And do you believe that he will make the difference? I'd like to read A.W. Tozer. It's a little longer than what I normally read. It's from one of his sermons. It says, how are we going to escape fear when there are legitimate dangers that lie all around us? And that's a good point, because it's not minimizing or saying there's not real fear, not real dangers, not more real challenges. The difference is how we face them. He says, well, here's what the man of God says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Someone is looking after us, the Bible says. He careth for you. Jesus, our Lord, your Father, knows what you need of before you ask him. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. And in all of your affliction, he was afflicted. It says the Bible pictures God as a very careful, tender-hearted Father, busying himself about the troubles of his people. He looks after them. He goes ahead of them, cares for them, and guides them all the way through. There you see the problem of worry and anxiety is solved by the assurance that while there are many things about which to be concerned, why should you worry when somebody, with a capital S, when somebody is taking care of you? If we know that God values us, we know that God is taking care of you, we know that he can make the difference in that challenging situation and circumstance, and we don't have to live with the anxiety, we don't have to live with the fear and the worry, we can choose trust. Some practical applications of that. I already referenced how important it is. In the midst of those really challenging moments where it's bigger than what you faced before, You need to look back. You need to remember God's faithfulness. I'm amazed when you look at the scriptures how often God reminded his people to remember God's deliverance, remember what God did for them. Some of you have practiced keeping a journal, a prayer journal. When God answers a prayer, write down the answer and write down how he answered it and put the date. And so when the next time that you're struggling, wondering how God is going to answer a prayer, you can go back and you can look at that and see how God has been faithful in providing for you. But we also need to remember God's promises. And no, again, God is already, we know what happens. We know, this is what amazes me when people think about the end times and think that we're close and they talk about it with such anxiety that I'm thinking, do you forget that we win? And he's in control. God is in no way out of control of what's going on in the world, and we don't have to live in fear. We can choose to trust. We need to remember not only God's provision in the past, but we need to remember God's promises, and God has the future and our future in his hands. But we also need to guard our hearts and our thoughts. Proverbs 4, we've looked at that passage a number of times in recent months of how important it is to guard our heart, and that's not just a seat of emotions, that's our will, our mind, our thought life. It's that inner self of who we are. Too often we allow ourselves to dwell on things and that are distracting, things that are actually feeding our anxiety rather than dwelling on God's promises and his truth. I want to think for a moment, how much more cable news are you watching than reading God's word and focusing on his promises? It's okay to turn the cable news off. If you really listen, they're repeating the same thing you heard for the previous 3 hours. But they still put the breaking news across the bottom. And we just look at it. And I mean, I'm convinced that half of our extra anxiety and stress of what's going on in the world is that we have 24/7 news coverage now. That we don't miss anything. And I know some of you, that's probably an addiction in your life. That you feel like you have to have Fox News or whatever news program of choice on all the time. I want to ask you, is it feeding anxiety? I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed. I'm just saying you could probably listen for an hour and get it. Sorry. Can you tell that was a little bit of a soapbox issue there? But you know, that choice of what we do when we face challenges and what we do when we're facing something that seems bigger than ourselves. Again, this gets back to Mike's challenge to me of look at it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to trust God even in a very difficult situation. And remember, it's God that will make the difference. He's the one that needs to show up and make the difference to provide. And we need to trust him. I read this story that was, it's in the book Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. He says that when in his early days of planting a church in California, he had got to a point where he was just totally overwhelmed with the task ahead of him and trying to plant this church. And he was so challenged by this that one night he woke up and he had this sense that God was laughing at him. And it really troubled him. I mean, he was sensitive enough to the Spirit that he really sensed that God was kind of laughing. And it wasn't until many years later that memory came back to him as he was helping his young son, who I think was 5 or 6 at the time, was helping him move a piece of furniture in to the house. It was the heaviest piece of furniture that needed to be moved in. And so his son wanted to help. His son really didn't have the strength to help, but he let him come in and help. And as they're pushing this desk, I believe, they're pushing this thing in, and his young son is pushing. His son got frustrated and said, "Dad, you're in my way." And he tried to push the desk himself, and Kyle said that he stood back and he just kind of laughed. And just kind of laughed at his son who was trying to do this himself, and it was so much more than he could even handle. And it hit him. That evening where he woke up sensing God was laughing at him, it hit him that he was just like his little boy. And that planting that church and what God had called him to do was bigger than anything he could do himself. And the only way that he was going to really be successful was if he stepped back and let God lead. And let God push. You know, in our lives, too often we try to face those challenges ourselves, and the only thing we do in prayer is we just name it, we say it to God, and then we just walk away with it because we're not letting Him into that situation to really lead us to care for that need, to care for that challenge. And so if you're here today and you're really struggling with an issue of anxiety and worry, I don't want you to leave today trying harder not to worry. I want you to examine what you believe. Do you really believe that God values you? Do you believe that He cares for you? And do you believe that He wants to show up in that situation and make a difference? Let us pray. And I ask the worship team to come as we sing, or as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful, Lord, to Your Word. Lord, I'm so grateful for the fact that You are concerned about the things that we're concerned about. Lord, sometimes we get distracted by nonsense, and sometimes we worry about a lot of things because we're feeding our minds with anxious thoughts. And sometimes we just need to turn the TV off or turn those thoughts off or whatever it is that's feeding that anxiety. But Lord, I just pray that You would help us to truly look at what we believe. Can we really look back and see how You've been faithful? To remember how You have answered our prayers in the past and come through in those difficult circumstances. Lord, can we really rest in Your promises that You give us? And Lord, know that even when the world seems out of whack or out of control, Lord, even in those moments, Lord, we can trust You because we know how it all ends. And we know that You hold our present, You hold our future. But Lord, I just pray that we would not try to face the challenges in our life by ourselves, but that we would invite You, the One who really has the strength and all that is needed, Lord, to care for those needs, to address those challenges. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to trust You, to invite You into those situations, Lord, that You might show Yourself faithful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.